Welcome to the Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk, a show committed to educating, empowering, and entertaining you while saving you thousands. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. Thomas Edison. I want to thank our sponsor, Cornerstone Mortgage, known for having the lowest rates and the smoothest closings.
If you have a question you would like addressed on the air, you can call or text the show at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG, which is 3684. All the information from our show is on our website at smartwithyourmoney.com.
Smartwithyourmoney.com, and also look us up on Facebook. Look up Doug Haldeman Show on Facebook and hit that like button. And then our podcast is getting a lot of downloads, Tam. It's been an awesome watching.
That's great.
I started getting the stats on that, seeing all the different places people are downloading it from.
That's cool.
I love to see it. Share it with your friends and let it be a continued phenomenon in the St. Louis market as we teach people to be smart with their money. So I am joined by my trusty co-host, my beautiful wife, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
So we survived.
We did survive this, the election. The ads can finally come to an end.
Isn't that probably the
biggest plus?
Yes.
Just not hearing political ads.
Right. Exactly.
Constantly on the air.
Oh, my gosh. I want to hear my music. No.
Well, interesting. I mean, I think that there are enough political shows out there, and people have heard so much political commentary that I don't think we need to go into an extremely in-depth analysis of the politics. However, as we teach people to be smart with their money, I think it would be remiss if we didn't at least have some conversation around the Trump election and how it's going to affect you and your money the American economy.
Right.
So, Tammy, what were just some of your, I guess, let's, before we get into that, let's just talk about the election itself. We got to stay up late, let our kids watch it. That was one of the most enjoyable things, for me at least, is letting the kids stay up late and watch the election, and they're going to remember it.
Yeah, I hope that they remember it. I mean, we have one child that chose not to participate.
Yeah, she didn't leave her computer. So
she voted nothing. No, it was really interesting to watch the kids and listen to them and what their take on it was. And they had their own opinions and their own viewpoint. So it was cool.
I like that.
Yeah,
I
do too.
You and I both want to encourage that. It's just
definitely
the open thought process and teaching them to think, not teaching them to believe what we believe.
Definitely.
Because who says we're right?
Huh, say that again?
Who says that we're right?
Well, I don't know.
I am
willing to be wrong, that's for sure.
I am totally fine with being wrong. I mean, who is right anyway?
So here's the cool thing, though, is that everyone that did get out to vote, whatever side you were on, you used your voice. And I think that that's a powerful statement. Because when you look at the numbers, it really tells you how much it counts.
Yes. I mean, if you said it earlier that if people let the media dictate if they were going to show up and vote, why even bother to go vote? Because it was already a done deal.
Right. If we all just listened to that, then your voice wouldn't have counted whichever way, whatever way it was going to go. So it's cool to see that. I love seeing how everyone uses their opportunity.
Well, we've been there. I mean, I think that as Republicans, we know what it's like to lose the election. And the same way that the Democrats feel right now with Trump getting elected is the same way most Republicans felt in 2008 when Obama got elected. And it's not fun. But the one thing I guess we could say to any Democrats that are going through that out there is the world is going to keep on turning. As much as you think that America is going to come to an end because Trump got elected, it's not very likely. And same thing if Hillary would have gotten elected. The world would not have come to an end.
It would not. And it doesn't change the opportunity to use your voice at any given point of the year. You can go to and lobby. You can go and start petitions. There's so many things. Like, we had a lot of people talk about the Social Security. If you have a plan, say it. Share it, get it out there, and this is the time to do it. And I feel
that's where
like
grassroots movements come from.
It really is, and I just really implore and encourage anyone out there to just use your voice.
Well, and the one place that Tammy, the two mm-hmm. of us use our voice mm-hmm. is when it comes to fiscal literacy and fiscal responsibility, which is what our show is all about. Mm-hmm. And something I'll say that neither candidate did and haven't seen a candidate do in many, many years is make the federal deficit, the federal budget mm-hmm. front and center on their platform.
Right.
Making balancing the budget
an important
an absolute priority yeah. that's a non-negotiable.
Right.
And I'll say that like the one I loved Trump's acceptance speech, except the only thing I didn't like was when he started talking about all the infrastructure spending.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally get why you'd want to stimulate the economy. And then in a lot of those infrastructure type workers that did vote for him, he wanted to be able to reward them for voting for him.
For sure.
By infrastructure type jobs, which are a lot of blue collar jobs.
That's what Hillary was wanting to create too, was the infrastructure yes. jobs. And all that means is more taxes at some point.
Well, more taxes or more debt.
More
if you
debt,
borrow your
right,
way into
exactly.
it. And you're going to have a little bit more income tax because you create those jobs, but nothing compared to all the money it takes to pay for those jobs.
Correct. Right.
That math doesn't add up. And to me, You can't decide to spend more money when you don't have it.
Right. So walk us through the financials of this week, because we saw all the time right after the stock market or all of that gets affected, the interest rates, things like that, all affect after a presidential race. So what did you see in your arena this week?
Well, it was definitely interesting watching it because the markets predicted Hillary Clinton to win. That was already baked in that there wasn't much chance that Trump was going to win. So when it appeared that Trump was going to win, the markets got really spooked. We saw mm-hmm. the Dow futures down over 800 points in overnight trading. And then what's interesting is once that set in, it totally recovered.
Mm-hmm.
Once they actually started thinking about it, they're like, hey, wait a minute, actually – Trump getting elected, we like this in the financial markets. And then the stock market started making a really good charge after this set in, and once the market opened, it, mm-hmm. it recovered. Now, what didn't, on the other hand, were bond prices. Okay,
there
was
a major sell-off. And tell everyone how that affects them on their interest rates.
So here's the deal: bond prices. These are the fixed return instruments. It could be treasury bonds, and this is where a lot of people will put their safe investment, they think. And typically, it's going to go the opposite direction of stocks, not all the time. But in this case, people took money out of the bond market and put it into the stock market. Now, Fannie Mae bonds is the best measure of actual interest rates. So when there's a sell-off in bonds, Fannie Mae bonds are frequently going to go the same direction as U.S. Treasury bonds. So we saw a big sell-off, huge sell-off on Wednesday, which meant when all these bonds sold off, interest rates spiked, mm-hmm. spiked considerably in one day. Just what we saw on Wednesday was a 0.25% increase in interest rates in one day.
So if you didn't lock in your loan, what does that mean?
Well, it means that you're either going to lock in now at a higher interest rate, or you're going to have to wait it out and see if the market gets better. Mm-hmm. And that's a risk, of course, because
it is a risk.
Nobody knows for sure if it's going to get better or not. So, as the markets get spooked, usually bonds become a flight to quality, meaning that when there's a lot of risk in the market, people will put their money into bonds. Well, in this case, there's a lot of fear with bonds of the different things that could actually happen with Trump in the presidency. So mm-hmm. China owns a ton of our bonds.
Right.
So there's definitely some fear that what if China starts to sell the $1.2 trillion of our debt that they own? Okay. So if they get spooked and start mm-hmm. selling, there's several different scenarios that are spooking the bond market right now.
Right.
So definitely a little scary. But what there is actually, though, right now, in my opinion, Obama campaigned in 2008 on hope. Okay, that was mm-hmm. his big theme. And I'll tell you right now, in the mortgage industry, I feel more hope than, I feel a lot more hope right now than I've felt in a long time in the mortgage industry. Because with Trump coming in, the hope is that they're going to dial back the overregulation that's been put in place through the Dodd-Frank Act. They're going to dial back the overregulation from the CFPB. They're going to dial back a lot of those things that are preventing business from actually operating and making money. And in turn, it's raising cost to consumers because of overregulation.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So, and that's the part I don't think people completely understand, is that because of overregulation, it costs more money when you have to jump through more hoops. It takes more time, more man hours, more everything.
Well, here's a great example of it. So in 2003, an average underwriter, so an underwriter is the one that actually makes a decision on a loan. Average underwriter could underwrite about 175 loans a month. Okay. Now, present day, it's down to about 35 loans per month.
Mm-hmm.
So from 175 loans a month down to 35 loans per month on average, those are staggering numbers.
And it's because of all the red tape.
Well, because of the red tape and the fear on their part, because mm-hmm. there is no room for error, and they don't want to put their name on loans. They don't want to have to sign off on something unless they're really sure that they've dotted their I's and crossed their T's and they haven't missed anything, or it could be their job.
Well, I don't know if that's completely all bad to be extra cautious, but...
Well, but you...
To lose your job over it?
Here's the balance, is you have to think about, you know, in cases like that, what's the extra cost to the consumer? And there is a balance there. They need to be thorough,
mm-hmm.
okay? But even when they're being thorough, they need to have high enough productivity that the cost per loan isn't outrageous.
Got it. Yeah.
And that's just one area. Like there are departments for mortgage companies that exist now that didn't even exist quite a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That you've had to create entire departments just to try to meet all the regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And those costs have to get baked in somewhere.
Right.
Unfortunately,
yeah.
They're not nonprofit organizations typically.
So some other areas that Trump is going to affect the U.S. per se, and possibly the bottom dollar, is that the Republicans have the House and the Senate. I mean, this is a big deal.
They have a tailwind right now.
So getting some of these other things, you know, passed and some things corrected, there's hope that, like you said.
Well, and here's the double-edged sword that I see that I guess I would put some caution. Okay, so 2008 to 2010, Obama, which really I guess was he got inaugurated in 2009, but his first 2 years of Obama's administration, when he had the presidency, so he had the White House, and he had both offices of Congress. He had Senate and he had the House of Representatives. In 2 years, they made a lot of progress toward the liberal agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they passed Obamacare. They passed Dodd-Frank. They passed all kinds of stuff with their liberal agenda. What did America do? America revolted and said, that's when the Tea Party movement came out.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
And they kicked a bunch of them out, where they lost the majority in the House and the Senate. So I guess my only caution there is for the Republicans.
True.
They only know that they're going to have 2 years for sure,
mm-hmm.
to be able to pass whatever they're going to pass. So they need to make a lot of progress toward their
prioritize
agenda. However, mm-hmm. they have to be cautious to not X out a lot of America.
That's not the goal. Right.
Or the same thing may happen to them again in 2 years.
That's true.
So they have to be good respectful. Point. They have to try to represent the good for this country, not just their own agendas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty difficult to do because they've been waiting in the wings to get their agendas in place.
Yep, that is true.
And some of that, I think, excites all of us. We're going to get Supreme Court justices is probably the number one icing on the cake for Republicans in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting news for Republicans, not so exciting news for Democrats. I'm glad it's over, though.
Yeah, at least we can move on and talk about something else.
Yes. All right. So coming up, we are going to be talking about an event coming up by Keller Williams called Paint the Town Red. We're going to give you the details when we return. You listen to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.